Oh, the questions that are asked. The Sadducees, they just love to ask questions. This is what they are very good at. That's their best quality, is asking questions and asking questions again and again. And in particular, they are good at asking questions that try to trap people, especially questions to which there's really no good answer. Somehow, if they ask Jesus the question that he cannot answer, or if they can ask Jesus the question that there's really not a good answer to, they try to make him look foolish. Then they will think that they have won because they feel like they are a little smarter. Their task in this scripture today is to discredit him by asking questions that he cannot answer, or questions that have a different meaning on earth than they do in heaven. So in our scripture lesson today, the Sadducees begin with questions regarding the resurrection. They are bent on proving that resurrection is a foolish, if not impossible, idea. Therefore, they propose the exaggerated what if. How many of you like those what if questions? I can't stand them. They drive me crazy. People, well, what if so-and-so, and what if? I'm like, why are you worrying yourself to death over something that you cannot prove? Something that you cannot even explain? Why don't you, where's your faith? That's what it is. So they're exaggerated, what if, Lord, if, you know, it says in the Old Testament here, the old scriptures, that if a man dies and he has a brother, that brother's supposed to marry the wife, and yada, 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 and it goes on and on. So they have this seven brothers. And of course, God bless the poor woman, she had no say into things, so she had to marry a bunch of idiots. And, I mean, it was just really and truly all along the way. I mean, she didn't have a lot of say-so in this thing, did she? None at all. So she got, you know, think about it. I mean, that's those things that happened back then. But here they are asking these ridiculous questions, and Jesus is trying to tell them, y'all are not paying attention, he says. And I don't really have a good answer for you, but let me tell you. It's something that they want to prove. They want proof. And he tells them it's a cheap imitation, he says to them. But see, if Jesus cannot answer the question they feel like he should answer for them, they can prove that he's not who he says he is, that he's a false prophet, he's a cheap imitation of what was supposed to come, or even worse. But Jesus, of course, today is bound by the Sadducees' way of thinking. He's not bound by them. He says, listen, guys, your way of thinking is wrong. I'm not bound by that. Your way of thinking is wrong as far as resurrected life and physical life. You see, the same rules do not apply in heaven as they do on earth. So he chastises their foolish assumption that you would find the same sort of things in the next life and that you find here on earth. Well, I'm hoping and praying it's a whole lot better. God has a whole different set of rules that illumined in Christ Jesus. They come in His life and in His light. You see, Jesus the Christ has come to put humankind in touch with a whole new reality, with different rules and a different way of understanding. You see, Jesus is not into an answer game. Jesus is into a reality game, a whole new reality. He's trying to explain to people who want to mess him up. Whose world is this? What is reality going on in this world? What is really happening? You know, we can answer that question for ourselves today. Whose world is this that we're living in? It seems like the world kind of owns it, doesn't it? It's a worldly world. But what's really going on in our world today? Some of the same things that were going on in the world in that day. People just haven't gotten mean and greedy and evil and rude. They've been that way from the beginning of time. People in the Bible were not always nice. Have you read it lately? We're doing a Bible study on women in the Bible. It's amazing, for the past two or three times I've had women that come in and they said, "Oh my gosh, I've read all this stuff. This was horrible. These people are horrible." I said, "Yeah. We're in the midst right now of Jacob and all of his wives and maidservants and all them young'uns and all that stuff. So we've Leah and Rachel's, we've just finished those. We're going along and there's just so much. And it's so overwhelming." And I'm, you know, people, you know, we like to think that, oh, it's just such a wonderful story that we tell our children, all those lovely stories. Yeah, those are great stories and they're in there, but guess what? It took a while for things to happen for those stories to be great. There's a lot of mess. There's a lot of ugliness. There's a lot of things that we are looking at through our eyes as we see them today. And we're not thinking about how they lived in that time and how society was and the rules and the laws and the things that were going on and the things that people really didn't care about. And that people in that time did not marry for love. They married because they were in the right place in order and somebody had destined them years before they were even born. Their parents had made an arrangement for them to get married so many times. And it's just a different thing when you're looking at it that way in the Old Testament to the New Testament. And that's exactly what was happening here today, is the Sadducees are looking at, even though they're here in the New Testament, they're asking questions of what they know out of the Old Testament, out of the Scriptures, out of the scrolls. It says, this is what it is. So, Lord, you tell us, Jesus, what you got to say. You tell us what it says. Who's going to marry who and who's she going to be married to? Well, thank God she's had to put up with them on earth. She sure ain't got to put up with them in heaven. No, her life is going to be free from that. Jesus said, that's not it, folks. We're all children of God in heaven. We are all angels. We are all a part of the heavenly host. We are a part of the family of God. It's a whole different thing. That's not going to be important in heaven. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ reorders everything. It just puts it in a different order. We've talked about that He's not in the answer game in the sense of ask a question, get an answer. Jesus is not in the answer game in the sense of people standing around arguing and fighting with one another regarding the law in order to work out their salvation. Sometimes people like to argue. There are people in this world who love to argue God's Word. They love to argue politics. They love to argue anything. And those are the people that I like to stay away from because they get on my nerves. Because what they're trying to do is to prove to you that they're right. Because they already got their mind made up. They're not going to change. So they want to try to convince you that this is the way it is because they can prove it in God's Word. And prove it with this. And it's like, the thing about it is, I'm not here to argue, Jesus says. I'm here to tell you. This is the way it is. He says, I'm here to tell you. You can't work it out like that. Salvation isn't worked out like that. You can't fight it out. You can't argue it out in God's Word. You can't argue it out with the laws of the time and the politics of the time, because a lot of the Old Testament had a lot of politics in it, had a lot of laws of society in it, had a lot of laws that were accepted by everyone. And of course, we know in the New Testament that Jesus tells people, later on, people are going to continue to tell Him and ask Him questions, and He's going to say, give to Caesar's and give to God's what's God. In other words, yes, you have to pay things, and yes, you have to abide by where you live, but when you're in, this is what you have to do as a Christian. How are you thinking? What are you looking at? What are you sharing? So, Lord, this day we just ask that we answer these type of questions, that God can save you and God can save me. The only important question we have today is, what do you think of Christ and who do you say that I am? And that's what He says in the Scriptures. What do you think of God and who does the Bible say that I am? You see, the Sadducees are looking at the wrong questions. They're asking the wrong questions. have the answers to the right questions right here in front of them. He's standing there in front of them that day, and it's Jesus Christ. New life comes not in having the right answers to the wrong questions. New life comes each and every day from the right question, the right answer. Who is this man Jesus? Who is this man Jesus in your life? You see, our future, your future and my future, hinges on our answer to that question. When we can answer the question, who do you say that I am? It asks us in God's Word today in Luke's Gospel. He says, and who do you say that I am? Who is this man Jesus in your life? Let us pray.